This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run with Xiaoning and Chuang. In about 15 minutes, we've got the KLCI opening and, of course, the legendary bell, as well as international markets with Stephen Innes, Asia-Pacific market strategist at Axie Trader. But in the meantime, let's talk about Bersatu, because over the weekend, Bersatu President and Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin announced that the party had agreed to join Muafakat Nasional, the alliance between UMNO and PAS. Our Prime Minister said that Bersatu's decision to join Muafakat Nasional will enable the parties to do more for all Malaysians. He also encouraged Bersatu members at the state level to strengthen working relationships with members of the PN component parties.
So it's worth noting that the news of this new cooperation comes about a week after former PM and Bersatu leader Tun Dr. Mahathir announced he was forming a new party called Perjuang. And in the past week, Bersatu saw many members leave, pledging support for Tun M instead. So I guess the question now is really, what does all this move to join Muafakat mean for Bersatu?
So for more on this, we have on the line with us Ibrahim Sufian, Program Director at Merdeka Center. Thanks for joining us this morning. Now, what does Bersatu's announcement mean for Perikatan Nasional then? Would it be considered defunct?
Well, thanks for having me on. Bersatu's decision to join Muafakat Nasional together with UMNO and PAS certainly solidifies the cooperation between the three parties. You know, I think first and foremost, Bersatu, I think, realizes that it is the smallest party within the grouping and therefore needs to work very closely with these two larger partners in order for them to secure their win in the speculated snap election. That in itself, in my view, doesn't really take anything away from Perikatan, because this Muafakat Nasional, in some sorts, is a kind of Malay political coalition, which will then fit into a larger coalition comprising other non-Malay and, you know, Sabah Sarawak parties under the Perikatan banner. So within the context of politics, it certainly means that Bersatu really will bank on the Malay political brand that with which it identifies. But at the same time, by having a more closer relationship with UMNO and PAS, it hopes that it will ease up any kind of unpreparedness within the members of the other coalition parties to support their candidates. Because we know that Bersatu is going to contest in seats that were previously contested by UMNO in previous elections.
So, obviously, politically quite convenient then, Ben. But I guess the question really is, does Muafakat really need Bersatu, apart from the fact that Tan Sri Muhyiddin is Prime Minister? So, I mean, in other words, do both Muafakat and Bersatu benefit equally from this new cooperation?
Well, I think each party is going to bring some strengths, but each party also has its weaknesses. And I think, therefore, the decision to have this kind of stronger partnership under the brand name Muafakat, you know, first and foremost, I think each of these two parties, UMNO and PAS, they certainly have a loyal political base that have, you know, been antagonistic towards one another for the most part of 50, 60 years. And so contesting under a brand of Perikatan or Muafakat Nasional hopes to ease up the hostility that has been pre-existing within the hardcore members of the two parties. Now, with Bersatu coming into the picture, yes, you know, on the surface of it, it does look like Bersatu is the smaller partner between the two. But Bersatu brings, you know, Tan Sri Muhyiddin, a leader that's more trusted by the, you know, general electorate and particularly the Malay electorate. And UMNO, for the most part, has not really changed its leadership after the 2018 electoral debacle. So in many ways, yes, it does bring the positive brand image of Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. And at the same time, it hopes to mop up any kind of undecided marginal voters from among the Malay electorate, people who would not, in an ordinary sense, come out to vote for either PAS or UMNO. So it does bring an additional, you know, synergistic effect.
And Ben, you know, if we look at Tun M's new party, Perjuang, it seems to have weakened the position of Bersatu with some departures of its members. So is this Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin's strategic response?
Well, I'm not sure, you know, what the strategy is. But, you know, Dr. Mahathir's formation of a new party certainly poses a threat to Bersatu, because while the new party like this, you know, is going to have difficulty in attracting new voters and contesting in an increasingly crowded electoral space, but it does weaken Bersatu somewhat in the grassroots. And so if, you know, the PM or the party, the leaders of Bersatu are not watchful, it's, you know, Dr. Mahathir's party could potentially hollow out Bersatu from within by engendering defections of grassroots leadership and state leadership away from them, and therefore weakening Bersatu in its negotiations for seats and also influence at the national political level against its other coalition partners, UMNO and PAS.
Meanwhile, Ben, there is or there appears to be cracks within the relationship already, right, within Muafakat National. For example, over the weekend, Gombak UMNO indicated it won't give a free pass to International Trade and Industry Minister Azmin Ali's attempt to defend his seat in something that he's held since 2008. Do you expect more of this going forward?
I think, you know, there's definitely going to be a lot of posturing ahead of the ongoing seat negotiations and leading up all the way to election nomination day. We will definitely see a lot of grassroots leaders voicing unhappiness over the choice of candidates or even the choice of parties that are going to contest in particular seats. In fact, you know, going beyond Gombak, which Azmin Ali has a long-term rivalry with the UMNO grassroots there, there's also issues in the state of Terengganu where the former chief minister, Ahmad Said, said that the Muafakat National doesn't exist there. So this is an issue that's definitely going to affect the ongoing negotiations. But assuming that the leaders are generally together and eventually can conclude their electoral pact successfully, then I think for the most part, these parties are going to be able to place one candidate in each seat contesting against their rivals, whether Pakatan Harapan or any other party. For the most part, I think we are going to see an alignment, but there will be wayward elements within grassroots leaders who are unhappy with choices of candidates and also parties.
And in the grassroots, Ben, what is the sentiment among members of Bersatu, considering many would have campaigned heavily against UMNO and PAS during GE15?
Well, I think the grassroots of Bersatu, those that are remaining with Tan Sri Muhyiddin right now, are for the most part aligned to him. So they will pretty much go along. And I think many of them see the pragmatism in joining forces more closely with UMNO and PAS, because it means that they have a better chance of securing seats to contest and also winning them against Pakatan Harapan. So I think for many people, I think the choices are going to be pragmatic as opposed to having other issues impede. So I think most people will go along. I think the concern is that over time, because of their smaller size, they might be swallowed up or they might be dominated over by the larger parties in that area.
And Ben, let's turn our attention towards the slim by-elections, which is happening in about 2 weeks now. What do you think the outcome will be for these elections?
Well, Slim River is an interesting seat because in many ways, it will be a kind of bellwether for the rural Malay seat in the West Coast. But unlike many other seats in the West Coast, Slim River still has a sizable rural population with Felda settlements there. It's 75% Malay. The socioeconomic structure is rural. And it's a seat that Barisan Nasional has done pretty well, pretty much since Independence Day. So electorally, we are not expecting any surprises. But I think for analysts and pundits alike, I think many people want to see to what extent will Dr. Mahathir's party be able to extract support there, you know, now that it's a three-way contest between Perjuang, Perikatan and then some independent candidates. So to be able to see how they are able to garner the Malay votes, 75% Malay voters that are situated there. In terms of issues, I think, going to be centered on the rural economy, the development needs of the population, financial aid for the agricultural sector, as well as the local amenities, public infrastructure, roads, lighting, and facilities for the communities there.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Ibrahim Sufian, Program Director at Merdeka Centre, giving us his views on the recent Bersatu joining Muafakat National. What does that mean? Does that mean the end of PN, which he says it doesn't? And also his views on the outcome of the Slim Bai elections, which is happening in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, that Bersatu joining the alliance was actually a bit of a surprise to some. Not all, some. And you have to ask yourself, to what extent it was a matter of political survival? And probably the answer is yes, because they've got to kind of like hold on to their coattails, and that could be the most feasible way of getting seats in the next election.
Well, let's face it, politicians, if anything, are very pragmatic, right?
That's
so
right.
It's a question of, you know, what works for them to actually win that seat or win the general elections whenever that might be, which some say might be sooner rather than later, which of course we'll be watching this space, but we'll also be watching the outcome of Slim Bai elections. And I'm so curious, what does this mean for Pejuang, the new party that Dr. M has set up? What will their role play in Malaysian politics? But up next, we have the KLCI opening for you. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.